The American Heart Association's Vancouver Heart and Stroke Walk takes place May 16th. The money raised will mean more people trained in life-saving CPR. Learn more about why CPR is so vital on this episode of The Common Good. Hello and welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the achievements of members of our community that contribute to Southwest Washington and beyond in a positive way. Hello, I'm Stephen Glickman, your host for this episode of The Common Good. My guests today are Matthew Kampf and Linda Johnson. Matthew is both the Brain Rehab Network president and CEO and the American Heart Association's Oregon and Southwest Washington 2026 Heart and Stroke Walk chairperson. Linda is a retired high school teacher and cardiac arrest survivor. First, I talk to Matthew. Well, welcome to the studio, Matthew. Thanks for coming in today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So the first thing I want to start out with is, and because we're really trying to inform our listeners, what is the Heart and Stroke Walk, and also why does it matter?
Well, the what of the Heart and Stroke Walk is a great opportunity for the community to come together to experience some great entertainment, some great education that saves lives, and just to rally together in a beautiful setting at Esther Short Park.
So it's not just a walk, it's like kind of a festival day.
Exactly, a festival morning. I would say one of the great things about the AHA is they are very efficient and effective with their time. And so, you know, that's a precious resource everybody has. So we want everybody to come out, to have a great time learning about how to be a lifesaver rather than a bystander. There's a lot of things that impact the health of our community. And the Heart and Stroke Walk is all about increasing education and awareness, and then also building skills. So the why of the Heart and Stroke Walk, so that more people are able to respond to sudden cardiac arrest when it happens in the community.
And that's important because it's a matter of life and death. People can learn CPR,
yep,
and they can save lives. How, if people don't know CPR, I mean, what is the instance of people having a heart attack that don't make it,
yeah,
that could have made it?
Hands-only CPR is simple, although it can be intimidating, but it's simple and effective and it saves lives. So a startling statistic, 9 out of 10 people who experience sudden cardiac arrest outside of a hospital don't survive. That's a scary statistic. And think about how many times people at the grocery store, at a sporting event, at home experience sudden cardiac arrest. Somebody at work, in the community, and at home needs to have the skills and the confidence to be able to respond with life-saving interventions, which is hands-only CPR. And so we do a lot around education and awareness building around that and confidence building, because it can be really intimidating to respond to a medical emergency. But responding is always the right action.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's intimidating about CPR is that you can damage the person that you're helping. Mm. You can save their life, but you still might damage them. And that can be really scary, you know, that someone is, you know, maybe you crack a rib.
Yep.
But you're saving their life.
That happens. I'll take a cracked rib and a beating heart 10 times out of 10. So immediate bystander CPR makes a difference, and it doubles or triples somebody's survival rate. So that's what's most important, is we're about being a nation of lifesavers, and we need more active bystanders to jump into this incident when it happens.
So getting a basic education, which seems to be your goal, getting people, yes, to know CPR, can lead to people who, if they're doing mediocre CPR, they could save a life.
Yes.
Especially keeping someone alive until someone who is better comes along.
Exactly. So the CPR training program, and to become CPR certified, is something we encourage everybody to do. You'll learn how to manage these situations and send somebody to get an AED and to direct somebody to call first responders, all while you're providing hands-only life-saving, although it might hurt the person, yes, but it will increase their chances of survival. So what we know is that small steps people take, literally, cardiovascular health starts with activity, and small steps matter. And small steps you take to help somebody when sudden cardiac arrest event happens, you know what to do. And that helps save a life. And that's what we're about.
And you're talking about, you had talked to me before we started the interview, that if ever there was one member of every household who could do this, the numbers of people who survive would greatly go up.
Yes, because we don't live our lives at home. We live our lives out in the community. So if you're the one person in your home that's trained, you know, you're going to go to school, you're going to go to work, you're going to go to other community events. So you're taking those skills to be that one person trained in your home out into the real world with you. And, you know, when an emergency happens, you have the skills to respond to a cardiac emergency response plan. So that's another component we encourage individuals and businesses to buy into. The Heart and Stroke Walk generates a lot of energy around that, cardiac emergency response plans. And that's a more holistic approach. But right now, what we want to do and what we're passionate about are increasing individual skills and confidence so that more people can be able to respond more quickly to be able to save more lives.
If there's the trope of, you know, someone on a plane, is there a doctor on the plane or is there a doctor in the house? But you could raise your hand and say, well, I'm not a doctor, but if you need CPR, I can do that.
Exactly. Yeah. I may not be a doctor, but I am a life saver in my ability to provide hands-only CPR. And you can be an active participant during a medical crisis. And you never know when that's going to happen. But you know, you need to be prepared for the unexpected, and this is a great way to do that. So what we know is that outcomes improve. Together as a community, we save more lives, and those are not just numbers. These are not statistics. These are parents. These are siblings. These are friends. These are coworkers. These are coaches, right? So being able to touch more people's lives literally with some education and with some knowledge, that has a positive ripple effect across our community to improve health.
Is heart disease still the number one killer in this country?
It is. Heart disease and stroke are in the top five for disability and death. And so what we want to do around lifestyle, we have the Life Essential 8 that's a big part of the American Heart and Stroke Association that's really about, hey, how are you managing your heart health to be able to live your best life? And those are great experiences that we have baked into the Heart and Stroke Walk. So the Heart and Stroke Walk, yes, it's about education. Yes, it's about equipping people with the right skills and confidence to be able to provide hands-only CPR. And there's phenomenal booths and vendors around healthcare services, but also around education and awareness and experiences that get kids involved, that get parents involved, that get companies involved. And so it truly is bringing together all facets of Southwest Washington together to have an amazing experience in the community on a great Saturday morning. And that adds a lot of value.
It seems as though this is really kind of a very underhanded way to try and help the community, because you're like, oh, we're going to do this heart and, you know, stroke walk, and we're going to help people know CPR. But what you're also doing is getting people out in the community, get them walking, so they're meeting other people, they're getting comfortable with being around other people, which you can't do CPR if you don't feel comfortable enough to break the ice.
Yep.
And be like, I got to jump in. So you're just kind of getting at this from like so many angles.
We are.
But this just seems really sneaky. Is that ethical to do that, to help people in ways that they didn't expect to be helped?
I think it's not only ethical, it's the right thing to do. You know, getting people's attention is increasingly difficult, and the AHA has phenomenal resources that get people's attention. I think staying alive should get your attention. Building skills that improve the health of the community should get your attention, because at work, you're not in isolation. You're with people, and being with people, having the right skills, having the right kinds of conversations around, hey, how's your heart health? Hey, instead of having a meeting sitting around a table, let's take a lap around the building. What are some simple ways we can adjust our existing rhythms and routines, have a good time doing it, and improve our heart health? And so these are some ideas and the experiences at the Heart and Stroke Walk. You know, there's a survivor's walk, you know, because we really want to celebrate people whose lives have been changed, in some ways interrupted due to a cardiovascular event or a stroke. Okay, so there's a short walk for people who need accommodations, but then there's a long walk for people who have maybe made a recovery and, hey, they want to keep going the distance. That's great. And people who want to stay healthy and push themselves, we have a little bit longer walk. Regardless, it's fun. It's community, and it's centered on how do we come together to make a positive impact.
Now, We also talked a little bit. I don't do a lot of pre-interviewing stuff, but I got forced into being ready for this interview against my will. And one of the things we were talking about is that heart incidents, where someone has a heart attack or a heart event, mm-hmm. isn't a binary thing where they're either they die or they're okay and they walk away. There yeah. could be different levels of temporary or permanent injury. You're yeah. trying to avoid that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So that can be, injury to the heart and or to the brain and or to other parts of the body. Right. So one of the slogans we say at Brain Rehab Network is heart health equals brain health. If you're making heart healthy choices, that's going to have a really positive impact on your cognitive functioning, on your physical participation and engagement in life, on health goals you have. And so partnering with the American Heart and Stroke Association, any individual or company that does that in Southwest Washington, you're taking a heart healthy approach that has a holistic, a whole body, a whole community approach to making a really positive difference that improves people's lives and recovery trajectories.
Now, you're with Brain Rehab Network. You're the CEO.
Yes.
How did you get involved in the American Heart Association? Was it just a natural outgrowth to like brain health, heart health? It's kind of all the same thing, right?
It is. So my connection with the American Heart Association extends for decades. My grandfather back in the 80s experienced a sudden cardiac arrest and he had a quintuple heart bypass surgery. There's some genetics there. There's some lifestyle choices that he made. But if not for the research and the education and just the pioneering innovations that AHA has done for 100 years, we're now going into the 101st year, or we're in the 101st year, but for over 100 years, they've been pioneering education, innovation, research that practically improves interventions in the hospital and in the community that saves lives. Well, that saved my grandfather's life. You know, that gave me an opportunity to meet him and spend time with him. My dad and his brothers have each had their own journey with cardiac-related issues, and seeing that. And so for me, I'm like, hey, if not for the AHA, my relationships with my direct family members that I love and I'm blessed to have in my life wouldn't be there. And so, yes to the impact that stroke and heart disease and heart sudden cardiac arrest events can have in a person's life, but it affected my family. And so whatever I can do as an individual and as a, representing Brain Rehab Network to be able to raise funds, raise awareness, and drive innovation and research, I want to be a part of that. Because for the next 100 years, what we know is that we're going to need more innovation, more education, more awareness, so more people know how to respond when a stroke or sudden cardiac arrest event happens.
Now, you promised me that you would use a term more so many times that I would get sick of hearing it, but I haven't heard it very much. And it was about being a lifesaver, right?
Yeah.
It was what is that?
I dropped the ball. Yeah, Nation of Lifesavers. So the American Heart Association has really pushed out a ton of great education and information around not being a bystander, but being a lifesaver. And what does it take to be a lifesaver? I think you hear the term, and maybe you think of a first responder showing up. Oh, they're here to save lives. Actually, you're the first responder if you're on the scene when something happens. So you can be a lifesaver. And I think it's incumbent upon each one of us to be a lifesaver and to be able to have the skills and abilities and the confidence, although it can be very intimidating. Certainly, even the number of times I've been through CPR training, when I put myself in the moment, man, how would I respond? I can even myself be a little intimidated. And so continuing to expose myself, exposure therapy to CPR, not only builds confidence, but also, hey, I know what to do. It really reinforces what it takes to be a lifesaver. And I'm ready for that.
Well, thanks for coming in and talking about this event and helping promote Clark County as a place that would have a county of lifesavers.
Thank you for allowing me to come in and look forward to seeing you at Esther Shore Park. It's where I belong down
at the Pink Pony Club. I'm Stephen Glickman, host of this episode of The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. My guests today are Matthew Kampf, Brain Rehab Network President and CEO and American Heart Association's Oregon and Southwest Washington 2027 Heart and Stroke Walk Chairperson, and Linda Johnson, a retired high school teacher and cardiac arrest survivor. We've been talking to Matthew, and when we return from a word from our sponsors, we'll talk to Linda.
KXRW is supported by The Columbian, which provides coverage of environmental, transportation, and homelessness issues of vital interest to the region and is made possible through its community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation. Available at columbian.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Stephen Glickman, and my guests today are Matthew Kampf, Brain Rehab Network President and CEO, and Linda Johnson, a retired high school teacher and cardiac arrest survivor. Before the break, we were talking to Matthew, and now our conversation continues with Linda. Linda, thanks for coming in today to talk to us about your experience. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Good to be here.
You are the survivor of a cardiac event. What was the cardiac event that you had?
I had a cardiac arrest.
And that is not a heart attack, correct?
No, that's not a heart attack. That is when your heart stops.
And a lot of people think about, you know, heart attacks and all these things, and it's about like, well, it was a clog, you know, they had cholesterol. And that isn't what happened to you at all, right?
That's right. I had no blockages. What I had was something that happened electrically in my heart that caused it to stop.
And your heart stops. I'm assuming you just pass out.
Right.
Right. And you were, and where did this event take place?
I was at the gym, and I was on the treadmill, and I started the treadmill, and I was working out. And about 10 minutes into my workout, I remember stopping the treadmill, pushing the button and stopping the treadmill. And that's the last thing I remember. For several days, I woke up in the hospital several days later.
So you have a cardiac event, which is cardiac arrest. Your heart stops. So now your heart is not doing its crucial function of pumping blood through your body, which of course means no oxygen, you're not serving your organs, your extremities. Then what happens? Because you're out.
Right. You're gone. It's called sudden death. So unless somebody helps you, which happened to me, there was a young lady on the treadmill next to me who noticed that I shortly into my, she noticed that I pushed my button to stop and then I just dropped. And she immediately reacted and dragged me off the treadmill and started CPR. And when staff came, she got them to call 911 and get the defibrillator. There was an AED on site. And she stayed there with me and did chest compressions until the emergency medical team arrived.
And as I understand it, the key thing is to do the chest compressions.
That's correct. The hard, fast chest compressions are what keeps the blood flowing. And so even if you don't know CPR, just to do that could be helpful.
So it's like a surrogate heart.
Yeah.
If you're doing the chest compressions. So you basically had quick actions by a bystander was, without question, a lifesaver.
Absolutely.
So I imagine that you are a big believer in CPR and CPR training.
Yes, I am. And I'm a big believer in, if you witnessed an emergency like that, to take action and not wait for someone else to do it, but to call 911, to take action yourself and do chest compressions.
So Linda, you had this very profound experience. Now you're involved with the American Heart Association. What has the American Heart Association meant to you? What's your relationship with them?
Well, I became involved with the American Heart Association through a woman that I was introduced to, and she reached out to me and we had a coffee, and she educated me about the American Heart Association, and she was a stroke. She is a stroke survivor, Lillian C. And so we got together several times, and she started inviting me to events with the American Heart Association. So that was the first part of it. When I had when I developed atrial fibrillation, I utilized the research that the American Heart Association sponsors to find out what the best treatment was for that. And so the American Heart Association sponsors treatment to guide patients or the public and also hospitals in the best treatment for, in my case, atrial fibrillation and heart failure. So that was part of it. And then the American Heart Association just has information available to the public for patients that are managing that kind of a condition, the heart failure in my case.
Now, would you say that the American Heart Association became a key player in you becoming an active participant in your own care?
I think it was part of it, yes. I mean, I was inclined to do that anyway, but they were helpful and they were a great resource for me.
You had said to me when we were talking before the interview that you had changed doctors after this happened. You were going to a doctor and you based on what you had learned from the American Heart Association, you were like, I think I need to change doctors, right?
Right.
And I mean, that's inspiring you to become active in your own care, you know, or giving you the tools to do that. And I think that it sounds like the story is like, be active in care, you know, learn CPR, be ready to help in the community, be able to be your own best advocate for your care.
That's right. That's what I found out. I mean, is that you have to be actively involved. You have to learn about it. When you have heart failure and you're recovering, you know, you don't feel well. And so you have to look for ways and the best treatment, both in medication and in procedures, if it's necessary to help you feel better.
How has the American Heart Association and your involvement helped you with your recovery? I mean, have they helped you figure out what you need to do for fitness or diet or anything in terms of your managing your own care?
Well, the guidelines the American Heart Association has, I think I probably learned that through cardiac rehab when I first came out of the hospital. And so I think that was helpful to my recovery, yes.
Now, if you could, you know, like you can share one message with listeners, you know, what do you want someone who's listening to this interview to come away with? Like a key, and it doesn't have to be one thing. It could be a whole bunch of stuff, but let's just start with one thing.
Well, the first thing is that to know that cardiac arrest, if you find somebody that has had cardiac arrest, if you witness that you need to act and not just stand back and wait, but act immediately and to do CPR and to call 911 and use a defibrillator if there's one available, because it will save a life. It's 9 out of 10 people who have a cardiac arrest die if they're not close to a hospital. So you can make a big difference in the survival of someone and the quality of life of someone who's had that kind of an event, a cardiac arrest.
Are there any other perspectives from your personal history that you know, wisdom that you can impart, you know, based on your experience? I mean, CPR, learning how to help someone who's in crisis around you. Is there anything else that you would kind of want to tip off people to?
Well, just that heart failure can be managed. And so you have to educate yourself and become aware of it and take advantage of all the resources around you, and including the American Heart Association. It can be managed and you can come back. I'm an active person again, like I was before. It was four and a half years ago that I had my cardiac arrest, and I was very active before that. And the recovery has taken a while, but I'm back to mostly doing what I did before. I'm in the gym, I'm on the treadmill, and I'm playing pickleball. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think that to be aware and to realize that, you know, you can learn how to manage heart failure and live a very active life. It just takes education and putting one foot in step foot in front of the other.
So some of the lessons, you know, kind of trying to recap this, it's like learning CPR so you could be active in, you could be a lifesaver in the community. Someone saved your life. And then there's also, you know, be an active participant in your own care. Go to the doctor, you know, look at your family history. I mean, all those things. And walk a lot. That seems like a really, everybody who's talked about heart health, you know, get walking. So you do a lot of walking now?
I do. I do a lot of walking. I work out with weights in the gym. I play pickleball. I'm active every day. I have to be careful about how active I am. I can overdo it with my heart. But so you just learn that. But it's really important to be active and to eat well. I mean, you have to manage the symptoms of heart failure. So I have to watch my sodium levels. And, you know, I know that if I eat well, that I'll feel well. And, you know, it's super important. And I want to be active. I want to stay active and healthy.
Well, I mean, I would think that you want to be able to compete in pickleball, maybe, you know, rise up, national championship, you know, that kind of thing. Are you going to be out at the walk?
Yes, I will be.
And that is not anything that's like a health risk for you. That's just like another day for you. You go out, you know, you take care of yourself, and then you're going to be out walking and raising money to promote heart health.
That's right. Walking is healthy. Absolutely. So I'll be out there.
Well, I think we kind of covered everything. I really appreciate you coming in today and talking about this. Sometimes these things can be very upsetting to talk about or remember, and sometimes actually very empowering because you could feel like you could make a difference. And I'm assuming that's how it is for you.
I hope so. You know, I'd like to make a difference. Yeah. So well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening today to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I've been your host, Stephen Glickman. I'd like to thank my guests today, Matthew Kampf, Brain Rehab Network President and CEO, and American Heart Association's Oregon and Southwest Washington 2026 Heart and Stroke Walk Chairperson, and Linda Johnson, a retired high school teacher and cardiac arrest survivor. To learn more about the Heart and Stroke Walk and to register today, you can visit pdxheartwalk.org, where you can also start learning hands-only CPR in just 90 seconds. Please note that all songs used for this episode are among those recommended for keeping the proper pace for administering CPR. Programming like this is made possible by your generous support. If you'd like to support this program and others like it, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm, and there you'll find the big donate button. Together, we're discovering Vancouver's voice. On behalf of show creator and producer Joe Clemens and all the volunteers and supporters who make this program possible, I'm host Stephen Glickman, and I want to thank you for listening to The Common Good. Take care.